Now, as we continue with our sermons in the book of Proverbs, if you would turn to chapter 25 once again, and we're going to read those verses from verse 14 down to the end of that chapter. Proverbs chapter 25, from verse 11 down to the end of the chapter. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and winds without rain. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbour's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbour is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. It is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Amen. May the Lord apply all of those tremendous words to our hearts and our souls. Last week in our time together, we looked at the first three verses of those verses that we read from again this evening, and at the overall theme, the overall issue which those verses bring before us. What that issue is, you remember, in gospel terms, is the twofold issue of speaking the word of the Lord aright and hearing the word of the Lord aright. And that issue then is brought before us in the form of those three pictures which the Lord's servant Solomon sets out before us under the hand of the Holy Spirit of God upon him. As far as the issue of speaking is concerned, that comes before us in the opening verse of our reading for this evening in verse 11, where Solomon tells us that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. As far as the issue of hearing is concerned, that comes before us in verse 12 of the chapter, where we read about an obedient ear being like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold and so on. And then in the third of our verses, verse 13, it's there that we're given a right estimation, a vital clue as to what it is that has to be spoken, and by virtue of that, of course, what it is that is to be heard by each and every one of us, heard and applied in our hearing to the good of our souls all the days of our life. Verse 13, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. As the cold in snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. Can you remember the picture then that the Lord's servant is setting before us in that verse? It's the picture of a faithful messenger, a servant, a messenger being sent out by his master to deliver the message that the master has given him to deliver. The messenger delivers the message faithfully, and then when he returns to the master at the given time, then his master is greatly refreshed, greatly satisfied with what the messenger has done in his name in delivering the message aright. A faithful as cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his master. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, says Solomon. And as we said, of course, not snow in the time of harvest, for that wouldn't be a very great benefit or a very great blessing at all. But he's speaking about cold of snow in the time of harvest. And the picture that he's setting before us there is of the harvesters, the laborers, laboring away in the harvest field, in the heat of the day, in the noonday heat. And then suddenly there comes wafting down from the snow-capped mountains a refreshing breeze to them in the time of the harvest, the cold of snow in the time of harvest. And he says that's what a faithful messenger is like to him that sends him to deliver the message when the messenger delivers the message faithfully. And as we saw, my friends, what a tremendously encouraging word for any of us as the people of God, that we are simply told to go forth with the message that the Master has given us to deliver. And you have all of this tremendous condescension in the language of the Word of God, that is like a refreshment to our Master when we deliver that message in the way that we should. Much like Paul says, that we are a savour, a sweet savour unto God, in them that perish as well as in them that believe. And this is the Old Testament version, if you like, of that New Testament truth that Paul sets before those Corinthians in that day. So he says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his master. And when it comes to the business of speaking aright and hearing aright, and what it is to be spoken and heard, then it's that message that the master gives to be spoken. It is that message that is to be heard by each and every one of us all the days of our life. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And you remember that allusion, of course, but it is this word. It is the word of the living God. That's the apples of gold. And the way that we present it, that's the framework of silver. But it is the apples of gold. It is the word. It is the message that God gives us to deliver. It is that has to be spoken. It is that has to be rightly heard. And when it is rightly heard, then, as the Lord's servant says, then it's like an earring of gold, and an ornament of fine gold in the hearing of the man or the woman, of the young person who has an obedient ear, an ear to hear the things that are spoken indeed. So the issue, the theme, right speaking, right hearing, and what it is that must be spoken and must be heard in the gospel to our souls, and the whole of the message of the Word of God to our souls all our days. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. So then, that's the issue that's come before us thus far in this particular part of the book of Proverbs. Now, in the verses that we come to this evening, what you have, in fact, is what you might call the other side of things, the opposite side of things indeed. And Solomon, you see, goes on to set before us now, not a faithful messenger who refreshes his master, but a false messenger who deceives the ears of those to whom he speaks his message. And as we looked at one side of the business last week, so it's incumbent upon us to look on the other side of the message as it comes before us this evening. A sobering word in many ways, but there are many, many parts of the Word of God calculated to sober us up from our drunkenness in order that we find true sobriety in Jesus Christ the Savior. Well, very simply then, as Solomon, under the hand of the Holy Spirit of God, gave us a picture to work with regards to the faithful messenger, so he gives us another picture to work with regards to the false messenger as well. And that comes in the very next verse of the chapter, in verse 14. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift, he says, is like clouds and winds without water. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift, or if you like, anyone who holds out a false gift, is like clouds and winds without water. And you see the picture once again, because the book of Proverbs abounds in pictures to our souls. And the picture is this, the picture of a dry, parched land where no rain has fallen for a given period of time, so that the crops are withering and the cattle are dying and the people are starving for lack of food and for lack of sustenance. That's the kind of picture to begin with. And then suddenly a cry goes up throughout the land that clouds have appeared on the horizon. Clouds are beginning to drift in and over that dry, parched land, so that the people think soon there'll be an end of the drought. Those clouds will come, they'll burst out over our heads, the rain will fall down on the thirsty ground, and everything will be well again. Well, the clouds appear, and the clouds hover for a time, and then the clouds disappear. And there is nothing whatsoever comes out of the clouds on which the people had pinned their hopes and put their trust. That's the picture, you see, that he's setting before us, my friends. Those clouds promised so much, but provided absolutely nothing whatsoever. And in the totality of the words of Solomon here, as he's setting before us a portrait of this false messenger with his false message, that's the kind of picture to drive home the fact of false messengers and false messengers to our hearts and our minds. Whoso boasteth himself of a whoso holds out, you see, a false gift. Here's what he's like, he says. He's like clouds and winds without rain. Those people thought, here's the gift coming in over our heads, in that they could see all their hope and all their trust, but it turned out to be a false gift, a gift of falsehood, in fact, as it says in the margin of the Bible. And that's exactly what a false messenger is like, he says, with his false message. He promises so much, holds out so much, and yet at the end of the day produces absolutely nothing. These false messages from these false messengers are like empty clouds and winds without rain. Now that's the picture then that he's setting before us. Another vivid picture. The Bible has many, many pictures to teach our hearts and our souls. And that's the portrait. And it comes in endless variation in the Bible to each and every one of us. Now, if you look into the New Testament, you get the New Testament taking up the exact same kind of picture for false messengers with their false messages. Almost in every page, you get it in one form or another, but you get it exactly like this in two particular places. In the Epistle of Jude, and in the Epistle of Jude, perhaps, you have what you sometimes are forced up to do. Sometimes you want to preach about things, my friends, that are very positive and very heartwarming and very consoling and comforting. But the case of the thing is that you have to take it from another direction. There's the faithful messenger. And what a lovely word concerning that faithful messenger. And no doubt we'd love to go on with this faithful messenger and the word fitly spoken and the apples of gold and all the rest. Well, Jude is kind of like that. And Jude, you would say, as to an original intention that he had in his heart and the mind, was to do this. He was going to write on to the people that he was writing to in that day with regards to the common salvation. It's a lovely word. Not that salvation is common, but he's speaking about the salvation that is common to all those who have ever believed to the saving of their souls, the things most surely believed amongst us. And he was going to set those things, those heart-warming, comforting things before the people of God, all the kinds of things that belong to the common salvation. That's what he was going to write. That was his common, his general intention, as you might say, but it didn't turn out like that. And he tells us why it hadn't turned out like that. He says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. For," he says, and this is why, "because there are certain men crept in unawares, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." I wanted to write to you, he said, about the one thing, but circumstances forced me to write about the other thing. These certain men crept in unawares. And then he gives us the description, the picture of these men. And among the parts of the picture is this. He says they are clouds without water, carried about by winds. They are clouds without water. You see, exactly the same as what Solomon is saying about these false messengers. So says the Apostle Jude in the New Testament. This is what they're like. They are empty clouds, clouds without water, clouds that promise much and give absolutely nothing. And then Peter takes up, you would say, exactly the same kind of picture. He speaks about these same kind of people, speaking great swelling words of vanity, promising liberty, he says. You see, this one who boasts of this gift that's being handed out, making so many promises, who so boasteth himself of a false gift, is like clouds and winds without rain. And if you want the origin of the false message, or the false messenger indeed, you don't have to go any further than the Garden of Eden. And you see, my friends, it was the old serpent, you remember, who came to our first mother Eve holding out the great promise. God doesn't want you to eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, because he knows on the day that you eat thereof, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And he was holding out to Eve, you see, that great offer of something that surely she needed in her life and should have in our life. And as she drank in the serpent's message, and when she looked and saw that the fruit was good to see and good to the taste or good to look at, then she took and she ate it. She gave it to her husband, and he did eat as well. You see, a great promise, great setting forth of a message to our soul. But the end of it, as each and every one of us ought to know, my friends, the end of that message was worse than nothing. Because not did it send down any refreshing showers, it sent down condemnation upon Adam and Eve and all who would follow after. There's nothing new whatsoever in false messengers bringing false messages. And what we have to do is to be sure in our hearts and our souls that we don't drink in any false message from any false messenger whatsoever, but that everything that we hear and understand and lay hold upon is that which squares with the Word of God that the Lord has given to us. These things that promise great things produce nothing, provide nothing at the end of the day. Eternal things is what we need, my friends, and it is eternal issues that the Word of God deals with. All the false things of our day and of our age, you'll find that they deal with temporal things, make promises for temporal things. Even in that, they can't provide what they promise, but assuredly, with regards to our never dying souls, they produce absolutely nothing whatsoever. have a look at what might appear to be an intriguing word to our hearts and our souls. In the next verse but one, in verse 16, especially in the light of some words that we had earlier on in this book of Proverbs. Verse 16, "Hast thou found honey," says Solomon to his son in that verse, "eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it." Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee. Now, isn't that a strange word? Especially in the light of that lovely word that we had a few weeks ago in the previous chapter, in chapter 25 and in verse 13, you remember, "My son," he says, "eat thou honey." And he sets that out before him, "My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste." Now he says, if you find honey, only eat that which is sufficient for thee, and no more, no more of the honey. Now, what makes the difference? Is there a contradiction? Why does Solomon seem to be saying one thing in the one verse of his book and something completely different in the other verse of the book? What is it he's speaking about? Well, it's one of those places, you see, most assuredly, where you have to take into heart and mind all that is contained in what is being said. And in that previous chapter, what the Lord's servant is saying to his son there is with regards to the word of the living God, and the honey that he's speaking about is the word of the living God. And all you have to do there is to go back to the Psalms of David, his father, even. And we did that at the time. You remember those lovely words in Psalm 19, "God's law is perfect and converts the soul in sin that lies. God's testimony is most sure and makes the simple wise. They more than gold, yea, much fine gold to be desired are than honey, honey from the comb that droppeth sweeter far." Or the end of his days when David says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey in my mouth." And he's speaking about honey, or the word of God under the figure of honey. And what he means by that honey, of course, is built into the very verses. "My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. A great reward provided is for them that keep the same. And if you eat this honey, and eat this honey to the full of the word of God, then the outcome of eating this honey indeed is a blessing to your soul all the days of your life." However, that's not the outcome of eating this honey that he now speaks about, or overeating this honey. That's a very different outcome altogether. And so he says, "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it." Now, that's a very different outcome, is it not? And it's the outcome, my friends, in fact, in the total setting of the words, that determines what he's speaking about with regards to this honey. And what he's speaking about in that place is this, my friends. He's speaking about that false message of the false messenger that will tell you that you can find satisfaction and life and enjoyment in the things of time and sense. The honey, you see, of time and sense. Now, God, in his grace and goodness, has given us much to enjoy by way of time and sense. Wasn't that the case in the Garden of Eden? "Of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat." But along came the old serpent, the devil, and said, but there's something else you need to eat off in order to find the satisfaction and the enjoyment. And as he tempted our first parents, and they took of that which they were not to take, then they knew the outcome of that. "On the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And God, my friends, gives us all things legitimate, richly to enjoy. But if we think that we can find soul things out of time and sense, we're gravely mistaken. And it's the devil himself and every false messenger of the devil that will tell us that kind of thing. Eat and enjoy the things that God gives to you. Don't put your hope on them. Don't drink in any promise that these are going to satisfy you, because they are not. And at the end of the day, not to put a fine point of it, certainly to repeat the word of the Lord, at the end of the day, those things will be vomited out, and men and women and young people will know all about it. Hast thou found honey? That's a good thing. Those things of this life, eat so much of it as is sufficient for thee, but don't pin your hopes. Don't take in the thought that those are the things alone that you need. You need eternal things. You need everlasting things, my friends, to your heart and to your mind. You see, it's a deceitful gift, a gift of deceit. And that cloud that had the great promise attached to it, that cloud drifted away, and nothing ever came out of that cloud. It's only Christ in the gospel that's the message of salvation to our souls. And the Bible is very, very clear about false messages and false messengers, even in the context of those verses we read tonight. Verse 18, you see, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is like a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. A maul's a hammer, a war hammer. It brings death, and a sword and a sharp arrow. The Bible warns us about bearing false witness, and the most severe false witness of all is a false witness concerning how our souls will be saved and how will we be brought to God forever. Verse 19, confidence in a non-faithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Neither of those things are much good to you. And to pin your faith in a non-faithful man, in a false messenger, that's going to have its consequences at the end of the day. Who's the false messenger? The devil and your heart and others. And especially, my friends, in a sense, it's the fallen heart that is the greatest false messenger that ever existed on the face of this earth of ours. Because the false messenger, the devil, will have a ready ear if the heart is opened up to receive the false message. So the Bible tells us over and over again about false messages and false messengers, and as I say, to take those warnings to our hearts and our minds. Now let me do something. So we've said often enough, trying to preach through the book of Proverbs, in no way can you go from verse to verse. Sometimes you touch on a verse or look at a verse, and if you would turn back a couple of chapters, there's a word that just seems to dovetail with the whole business that these verses for tonight bring before us. It's in chapter 19 of the book. And if you look there in verse 27, again, it's another word, sincere word that Solomon is giving to his son, but a sincere word that God is giving to each and every one of us. Verse 27 of verse 19, he says, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge." And you see what that counsel is. And it's simply this, my friends. It's a sincere word of counsel not to give your ear to anything that is wrong for your life or will lead you in a wrong way in your life. Cease, my son, he says, give over to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. In other words, anything that would lead you astray, anything that would lead you in a wrong direction or cause you to deviate from the right path, close up your ears to those things. That's what he's saying. And surely, my friends, whether those things would come before us as teachings or opinions or instructions or whatever the case might be, if those teachings are bad for our never-dying souls, we're to get our hands over our ears with regards to those things. the words of knowledge are the words of God, the words of eternal life, the words of the gospel, the words of instruction to our hearts and our minds. And he says, turn away from anything that would cause you to turn away from the words of knowledge. And you can take that, you can apply it to the whole of our life, surely, in any aspect of our life, with regards to trivial things or serious things or life dependency things. The value of that kind of counsel is invaluable. Turn away from that which would lead you in a wrong direction. If you're driving from one place to another and you're going in a wrong direction, if somebody tells you that, you're thankful for what they have told you. And here's the word of God saying, look, you make sure that what you're listening to are words of instruction, and if they're not the right words of instruction, turn away from such words in your life. And there is nobody that more pressed that point and preached that point than our Lord Jesus Christ himself. That lovely Sermon on the Mount, you would say in some ways, one of the best known, of, or at least the best, most read perhaps, of all the portions of our Lord's ministry as he went up into the mountain and began to teach the people in the way that he did. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, and so on. But then as our Lord went on into that message, then he spoke some other very, very telling words as well. Words like this. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now this is Christ, my friend. This is Christ. And he's saying, look, here's the way of life, and here's the way of death. Choose the one. Reject the other. Don't only reject the way, reject anybody who would tell you that that way is a safe way or a right way. Beware, he says. We know what beware means. We take note of it even when it comes to the things of the road or many, many things. And here's Christ speaking about the most fundamental issue of each and every one of our hearts and minds, eternal life and eternal death, heaven and hell. And he says, beware. And one of the things that you're to beware of are those who come to you in sheep's clothing, telling you what you want to hear, perhaps, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. In other words, they are clouds that don't have any water. They hold forth promises, but they will never produce what you need if you have a thirsty soul. And that's not an isolated statement from the Lord. You find him with the same kind of ministry on many, many occasions. He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Christ spoke like that. Not the Jesus of men and women's imagination that seems to be abroad today, but the Christ of the Word of God, the only Christ that any of us can know. The only Christ that anybody can know is the Christ revealed by God in his Word. And this is how he preached, and this is how he taught, and this is how he set forth his warnings over and over and over again. There is such a thing as false messengers with false messages, and we're to be aware of them, and we're to be beware of them as well. So he says, stop listening. Stop listening to any such false message. And my friends, when it comes to your soul or my soul, we are to close up our ears to anything that would hold out a promise to us that is not based on the word of the living God. The instruction that causes to err. The message that leads away from the truth of the word of the living God. And when you read those words of Solomon to his son, can't you read something of the way he says them? And he says, my son, cease to hear. Stop. Obviously, he had opened up his ears, you see, to some notions or other. And he says, stop doing it. Stop doing it right now. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. And those messengers that come with those messages, indeed they are clouds without water, promising much, providing nothing whatsoever. Now, you see, you've done that. You've listened. If you're unconverted tonight, my friend, by virtue of the fact of you being unconverted is a proof that you've opened up your ears to a false message or a false messenger, albeit it's your own heart or your own mind. You've obviously listened. You've obviously looked on the cloud and said, this is going to provide me with what I need. That is the case with you. And that's why you come under that word of exhortation that you're to cease from doing that very thing in your life. And of course, by virtue of that, if you're to cease from the one, then you're to open up your heart and your soul to the other. And how many good words of eternal life there are in the gospel of God's redeeming grace to our souls set out for us over and over and over again in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And simply, my friend, you take those words, take them as him who delivers them, the faithful messenger. None like Christ. We're called, if we're the Lord's people, to emulate him in our life and deliver the message that has been given to us by the one who has sent us. But he is supremely the one who was sent by God. And he is supremely the faithful messenger, the faithful and true witness. And as our Lord calls on us over and over and over again, then it is to listen to his word, to cease from the words that would cause us to err, and to listen to the words that will bring us into eternal life. So far as I know, the devil hasn't deserted his post. The devil hasn't altered his procedure with men and women, and he still comes insinuating, bringing his message, telling men and women what they will get if only they will listen to that message. You see, never underestimate the devil in telling you things that he cannot and will never provide in your life. The most flagrant example of that is when he came to Christ in the wilderness. And when he tempted Christ, and when he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he said, now, if you will bow down and worship me, follow me, all of this will I give you. What a promise. What an exhibition of a promise that could never be fulfilled. He offers to the creator of the world, the world. And you think that the devil then doesn't deal with the likes of us for his own designs and for his own ends. And the devil promises and promises and promises what you will have and what you can have simply by following out those things that are opposite to the gospel. Take the things of the gospel, believe them in your heart, and only in that way do you have the message of the faithful messenger, of Jesus Christ himself. Let me just leave it there for tonight, my friends, those times surely when there are plain, simple, straightforward statements of God's word to our souls. There is a way that seems right to a man. The end of it is the way of death. You've heard about it often enough. There will come a time, maybe it's tonight, when you will hear it either to the saving of your soul, or you will never hear it again. Because once you and I are ushered from this life, we are ushered out of time into eternity. And time is the time of grace, and eternity is the place where we are found in accordance with as to how we left the time of grace. You don't know what tomorrow will bring forth. I don't know what tomorrow will bring forth. But I must have it assured in my soul that it is well with my soul forever and forevermore. How can I have that assurance? With some promise from some false message? No, no. But with the promise of eternal life from the one who alone can give eternal life and who gives it in the way that it is given through faith in his name. May the Lord take his word and bless it to your soul and the eternal good of your soul, and indeed to the blessing of each and all of us, for Christ's sake. Amen.